Hey everybody, Richard here. Before we start the show, I wanted to let you know about an upcoming event that we're really excited about. It's called Area Code Batavia Live. That's right, we're doing a live version of the podcast at Sturdy Shelter Brewing. We are having Frank, Diane, and Oliver from Sturdy Shelter on the show as guests, and we're recording it all live. We're really excited about this. If you would like to attend, it's Thursday, April 11th. From 7 to 9 p.m. And it will be just a $10 admission, which includes a drink. So it basically pays for itself. Come and check it out. If you go to areacodebatavia.com and subscribe to the newsletter, you can find more information there. Or you can go to sturdyshelterbrewing.com for more information. We really hope to see you there. I'm excited about it. Should be a lot of fun. And now here's the show.
Anytime you have a space that is yours that you want to share with people, it should be an extension of yourselves. So with us being as interested in everything from like fantasy and sci-fi and comic books and all of this like nerd culture stuff, we wanted to address that through the decor.
Hey everybody, I'm Richard Clark, and this is Area Code Batavia, a podcast about what it means to belong in Batavia, Illinois. When Tyler and Natalie Anderson set out to start their own barbershop in Batavia, they knew they wanted to make it their own.
So we have everything from art from local artists, there's a dragon, there's a full suit of armor and shields and swords. Yeah. There's a bunch of like comic books on the bookshelf for people to read, but it's also a comfy space. Like the chairs that we get to sit in, the couch gives you that sense of being over at a friend's house where you can come and relax and kind of like escape the world for a little bit.
Right.
And gain a moment of calm.
Creating a space like this is a kind of vulnerability. You're opening yourself up to others, giving them opportunities to embrace or reject your interests and passions. But Tyler and Natalie knew that creating a barbershop was about more than just giving haircuts.
I mean, everything with barbering is about a community, right? So you're a bit of a hub of, you know, a neighborhood where you can tell people all of the best places to go eat and do all of these other things.
Yeah. Ultimately, they were creating a space for people like them, a place where people can finally be themselves. After putting on a mask for work or after a day of interacting with people who may not quite get it. And Tyler and Natalie are inherently gifted at this. One look at their website and their physical space will tell you that. But what I wanted to know was why they chose Batavia to host their vision and why they're so passionate about creating a barbershop of all things as a means to their end of belonging.
There's a lot of parts of the barbering industry that I was the original barber here. And there's a lot of parts of it that I never really identified with it. This isn't like across the board certainly, but there's just a lot of like competitive macho-ness that is not part of the community that we wanted to build.
Interesting.
D&D is kind of D&D and, you know, the greater nerd community, but that's the one where people like gather together in person for a common goal.
Yeah.
And that really just embodies a lot of what we're trying to do.
I think too that it provides a space for those type of people to come and get that barbershop experience.
Yeah.
You know, the camaraderie and the connectedness of the community by getting your hair cut in a space that they know things about.
Right.
You know, if you just go to, you know, any barbershop on the corner or say like a sports bar that's plastered with flat screens everywhere and you don't care about sports, you're not going to feel comfortable there.
Yeah. There do tend to be, especially in like manly barbershop. I guess like those
hyper masculine,
there's some assumptions that take place.
I mean, although if you see the clients that come here, there's lots of just like absolutely enormous giants with like beards that you can't even see a logo t-shirt on them.
Yeah.
You know,
some manly dudes,
very manly dudes. But they're the types that are like, that don't take themselves too seriously and are still open to all the magic that's out there in the world. But the reason we also started talking about D&D so much in the first place here is because we were literally cleaning up
after
a game that wasn't even part of the shop. That one was just, kiddo wanted to have a D&D campaign for or a one shot for their 15th birthday with their friends. So
it's like one thing of many that you're interested in, basically.
Yeah. Stories mostly.
When was like the first time you both felt like you belonged in Batavia?
Several years ago, my sister-in-law and her husband got a house in Geneva. And when we came out to visit for the housewarming party, we were kind of like driving through some of the Fox Valley. Mm-hmm. I've been to like Aurora a couple times in my life. I grew up in the Northwest suburbs, so I didn't really know much about, you know, the Fox Valley. And as we were driving through, just looking at like all the different buildings and businesses, I was like, this is...
I think it was the windmill that sold us. This feels really right.
Like, cinched that into our brains of just like, I dig it. I really like this place. And then we started doing more research and looking for an actual like shop space.
Interesting. So like that moment you're describing was not a moment where you needed to belong in Batavia. It was a moment you're literally driving through and you thought, I'm liking the vibe of this place.
Oh, yeah. So my sister moved out here. We moved out here a couple of years later. And then my parents ended up moving out to St. Charles. So like we're just like bopping up the river, essentially. We were from the Northwest Burbs, which are fine. But like this is, I said it felt like the Shire of the Middle West. And I still maintain that.
The Shire of the Middle West.
And then our first week open, a family with like a whole slew of children with their own hobbit cloaks showed up. And that, so it's not the D&D thing. Yeah. It's the, it's a little Field of Dreams ish, like build it and they will come. And
then, I like that.
You know, before long we had a dude who's like, hey, you want to trade like this trunk full of swords I have for two haircuts? I'm like, yes.
Absolutely.
I would like the trunk of swords.
I will barter for weaponry.
Explain the Shire of the Midwest analogy.
It's the, there's a, kind of like social buzziness to, you know, the Hobbit lands, in Middle Earth, rolling hills and pastoral nature.
So is that quaint neighborhood thing with some nature?
Yeah, it's nice being on the river. It's
like it's a city, but it has a small town vibe to it that has that Shire feel that where it's close enough that you can go to those bigger, you know, urban areas, but it feels like it doesn't feel like it's super connected.
Right.
Like it's its own little pocketed little island of weird and calm.
Yeah, it is weird, right? Batavia, I mean, I
don't... In a good weird.
I don't necessarily want this to be a running theme on my podcast, but it is like, it does feel like one of the reasons I wanted to make a podcast about Batavia, and I've had several people talk to me and say, why not broaden the audience and make it about Tri-Cities or even like the Fox River Valley or even like Chicagoland. And the thing is like, Batavia just, A, it's where I live, it's what I'm interested in, but B, it's like fundamentally interesting to me, like as weird place.
It's the, there's a lot of like creative weirdos, the older hippies, and I'm going to tell you a little secret right now about Batavia. Nice.
It will not stay a secret if
no.
it's on this podcast.
But well, it's, there's a detail I will leave out, and that part's the secret. Long ago, we were approached by an will always remain unnamed city official to ask us to make FYB, fuck yeah, Batavia, a thing, because they weren't allowed to through them, but they could share it. So I think we should all just do that more. I haven't done it in a while.
I feel like I saw bring that somewhere. Back.
Gotta bring it back. Because fuck yeah, Batavia.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, it's a fun little place.
That's cool. I'm going to just go ahead and guess that official was the mayor and move on.
It actually was not.
We should tell you who it wasn't.
We have had so many amazing and hilarious conversations with the mayor. He brought us a plaque about the time John F. Kennedy showed up out front here that one time.
Perfect.
But this was not the mayor. Do you think he knows enough about hashtags? Come on.
Yeah, maybe. It's just my favorite choice.
He's a good dude, but I don't think he's the most social media savvy, I would assume.
Right. Where did the idea of Beardsguard come from? Like, it sounds like you were looking for a place when you drove through here. We recognized this place as possible.
Yeah. So we knew that we wanted to open our own shop.
Yeah.
That was the goal.
Once you started barber school.
Getting into barber school.
Okay.
So after that, we started coming up with, or trying to think of names.
Yeah.
We're like Anderson's Barbershop. My goodness, that is boring. You know?
and way too confusing because there's probably 1,000 of them.
Yeah. There's so many Andersons, especially here.
Yeah.
But then we were drinking one night and Tyler, while I am the copywriter of this place, Tyler just blurted out Beardsguard, and it was like the best single word that led to everything else.
What made you want to start a barbershop, though?
I had been a barber for a number of years already. Okay. I had run away to Montreal for some years and decided, or I had to get a license to get, or sorry, what was it? A visa to get up there. So mm-hmm. I'm like, what do I like to do that I don't presently do that I could go to school for? And I had always like cut my own hair and cut some friends' hair and like, heck yeah, let's go to barber school. Yeah. Up there, it's just a coup de coiffeur, so hair school.
Yeah.
I finished that and was working for a while and then couldn't get a visa to stay there because it's a lot stricter. Like they have to be able to prove that they can't find anybody in country to do the job. And that was right. certainly not the case. So back to America, I went and found out that my license didn't transfer at all. So I had to go back to school all over again
wow.
for a much more extensive time. So yeah, I've been a barber for 15 years.
A determined barber too.
I was, you know, got out of school the second time around. If anybody's looking to go to barber school, the Barber Academy in Schaumburg, some of the most incredible instructors over there that you'll ever find.
Can you like describe the moment when you decided to start Beardsguard? Like when that decision was made?
You hated your job.
Oh, I was miserable.
It was kind of that.
I was in the corporate started. Back and forth of like, I need to be full time so I can make benefits so I can support gosh. My family and yes. have insurance. Uh-huh. And they said, okay. And then it never happened. And that conversation happened over the course of like several months.
Yeah.
And finally I was just like, this is dumb. I was just working at a grocery store. I was working in the bakery department, which was fine.
Yeah.
Like the work itself wasn't bad.
Great arms. All that bread kneading.
A lot of baker's arms.
A lot of rolling pins. Right. I mean, yeah, don't go to the gym. Just bake bread. You'll get ripped and have bread.
Yeah. That's good.
It's a double win.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was, you know, lamenting to Natalie over the course of months, and she almost every time responded with, I think you would really like to be a barber. I think you'd be really good at being a barber. I think you would enjoy going to barber school and being a barber.
It's because you had been in, the thing you most loved, Tyler told me at one point that if he ever like, you know, did his own thing, he'd want to open a bar.
Yeah.
And when you had a little kid and... you know, restaurant industry be what it is with the hours that it has and the just
not conducive,
conducive. Yeah. And I would never want to run a bar, as a family business. That would be terrible for everything. But I had also been a bartender and a server for so much of my career. And the kind of skill set that you need to be a barber, it's just literally the same skill set with fine motor skills and like a good eye for shape and proportion.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
So like, and you were a little bit self-interested too because you were a barber already.
Oh, yes. Well, so he'd also, when we first met, usually when I ask like, oh, who cuts your hair? When people say, oh, I cut it myself. I'm like... yes, I know. That's why I asked that question. Not in his case, though. He did have hair back then, not like a ton on top, but at the same time, he did like a really nice blend and it was a really nice neckline. And when I found out he did it himself, I'm like, damn, you have some skills for this.
Uh-huh.
And his whole family had been the like mom cut everybody's hair growing up. And people who come from that sort of like that background of just doing the things that need doing. And also have an art background. Those are the perfect people to be barbers.
Interesting.
You get all that social goodness that he always liked from bartending, but you're just covered
a little rotation of clients throughout the day. Just like, I get to talk to you for about 30 to 40 minutes and then next.
Yeah, there is that nice built-in like boundary where 30 minutes is over, it's over. Mm-hmm. We don't have to like do this longer than we need to necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's like bartending, but like, everything is so much more manageable.
Yeah.
Less drunks.
So what you...
Not none.
Not none. Just less. A lot less.
Yeah.
Which is good.
So you launched Beardsguard, or you started Beardsguard. What year was that?
2014.
How did you expect that to pan out?
There was a loose plan. There was like a 3 to 5 year.
For you.
For me. From what I was trying to manage my own expectations.
Yeah.
Even... the more concise plan, I think we blew way, way past it really early.
Yeah, our original plan was to be, or or we surpassed our original like 5-year plan for growth by year one.
Amazing.
And then, yeah, it just kind of kept on rolling from there. But with the beginning, it, and frankly for me, it kind of went exactly how we were how I expected.
Uh-huh.
Tyler, when he first started at his first barbershop he was working at out of barber school, he was, you know, brand new, super green, and compared to where he is now, he was, you know, he was fine. Mm-hmm. Wasn't super duper polished yet, but he had more clients than most of the experienced people in that shop. Yeah. And that was the case for me at the shop that I used to work at in the city, where all my spots for the same day appointments would be gone within the first 5 minutes of opening up the phones in the morning. And you get to a point where you're like, I can't handle those clients anymore. So you need to expand a little. And once we got together, that expanded and kept rolling from there.
Why do you think that happened? Like, why do you think it, like, I don't experience many like success stories that are that clean, you know?
Especially it was not
out of
clean.
The gate. Okay.
Nothing clean
more about
it.
That. Well, it was messy.
Everything leading up to opening.
We had, okay, yeah. Oh my God. That was a trying to open a business in a historic district is a nightmare.
I see. Yeah.
That alone and just like finding the funds and going through the whole process of like.
We had an investor.
Yeah.
One of my old clients who then dropped off the map like with, what was it, a month until open? So all of a sudden, we had to wrangle up like $15,000 in zero time. We literally just went across the street to the bank that was across the street at the time, got a few credit cards, and got the shop open.
Oh my gosh.
By the skin of our teeth.
Wow.
Like super bare bones.
It needed to work then.
Yeah, we were already, like,
the
lease was signed.
So screwed if we hadn't, we kept saying, if we can get the doors open, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was a wild, mad scatter to just get to the point where we could open the doors and start taking clients.
Like 4 years where if like the wrong station turned on their blow dryer at the same time another two stations had clippers on, all the lights would go out.
Yeah, the wiring in here was
electrical for years.
It was bad.
Yeah, so not smoothly.
Was that like, so was the lowest point then before you opened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the pandemic was a dark time, certainly.
Right.
But
I came here during the pandemic. Yeah. It was a bummer to get your haircut with a mask on.
It's it's a weird. You always say in this industry that barbering is a recession-proof business because hair always grows. Uh-huh. But we did not account for a global pandemic where you touch people's faces for a living.
Yeah, it's hard to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Once we got things open and we were operating business-wise. I think with our 5-year plan was to, you know, have a couple more barbers on the floor. We had four chairs at the time. When we first opened, it was literally just the two of us, and that was it. There was no front desk. There was no support staff of any kind. We were literally doing everything before open, during opening hours, and for many hours afterwards.
Yeah.
But quickly started acquiring staff.
Yeah.
Within the first like few months.
Yeah, we had a friend around that was kind of like in a in between spot at the time, and brought him on as shopkeep for. And he, Colin helped us really like build the kind of eclectic, eccentric, goony vibe of the shop in the early years.
We do mean that with love.
What does that mean? What, like, he built it in what way? Like, he just added that personality to it.
Yeah, especially he was the person in the early years that was just always around with a camera.
Okay.
And I see. Taking photos, taking videos, and between the two of us, we built our social media following that way, which is, I'm sure, a good part of the reason why things exploded as much as it did.
Okay.
He did go to school for journalism.
He did, so using that degree.
Literally, squarely in his realm of stuff. And that's one of the things that he was so good at was being able to observe the things going on and kind of packaging
Yeah. Okay. I like this guy. That sounds cool.
And that's what we still try to do with our social media. It's not about, you know, we certainly aren't promoting like, hey, come see our barbers. Right. It takes 6 weeks and you can't get in if you haven't been here before. Like that's rude. It feels like, I always feel like, hey, I should put up more haircut photos and like promote the barbers more. But like, why? So we can have people yell at the shopkeep? That doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
So we try to promote more of the the general, or talk, you know, show the general experience, kind of a window into what it's like to be here.
Yeah, there is. I do want to talk a little bit about like this. You all are one of the businesses locally here in Batavia that I feel like has a pretty robust social media platform. Mm-hmm. Does a lot of like legit marketing, you know, that feels like a big piece of it.
I did have one marketing job at a like high-end international company. Years ago.
So that's a background. That's a background in marketing, right?
Social media. I was like
not in social media.
Nobody there even had Facebook accounts at the time. Yeah. It was that long ago. But the thing that they did so well, and the company president did incredibly, was be able to use the resources that you have available to tell the story so much more fully than you should be able to do for the resources and budget that you have available.
Yeah.
And show people a better time than you should be able to do with the resources and budget that you have available. Uh-huh.
So I think it's interesting because I think one of the things that your marketing and social media accomplishes is like establishing, helping people in this area find their people, right? Mm-hmm. And vice versa, helping you find your people. I'm curious like how explicitly that was a goal for you all.
I think it's the underlying motivation that kind of carries across all of it.
Uh-huh.
To broaden it, I think it's human nature to find people that you resonate with. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just what we do.
It's my nature to skitter off to the woods. Speak for yourself.
I mean, but that's your people. You want to be in the nature with the plants and the animals and a little babbling brook and a tiny little cottage. And
Yeah. So, and even for all the people who that's the vibe that they're going for, as opposed to, you know, hanging out with the humans, it's still a comfy place. It seems like it's a pretty comfy place for them too.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess like one of the things I'm trying to work through in front of you right now is like, there is a little bit, and I don't want to overstate this, but I think it's fair to say there's a little bit of cognitive dissonance between Batavia vibes and Beardsguard vibes. I want you to.
You'd think so.
I want you to disagree with me because I want you to nuance that. But that's my like impression. Okay.
There's a thing I said when I first got out here, and I hope nobody takes offense to this in Batavia, because I mean it in the most loving possible way. Uh-huh. This place always has felt like it's just full of like a bunch of hippies from back in the day that are just like all grown up and know where to get the really good weed now.
That
You know. Yeah. So it's people with that. Like slightly more counterculture, anti-establishment, I don't know, but you know, are grown up and have the, you know, taste and funds to treat themselves a little.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think that's
heck, our prices wouldn't even be as high here as they are if it wasn't like for the flow of people. Cause like at some point you just have to put a little bit of a backstop on that.
Yeah.
But we still try to keep everything, good and affordable.
So when you started this, like, and you said we're gonna focus it on sort of nerd culture a little bit. I don't know if you like that term or not, but you've used it before. So that or like a high fantasy, like that sort of thing. Did you think that's a great fit for Batavia?
So yes and no. I've long found that there are so many people who you would never peg as a secret nerd. Uh-huh. But my God, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
They're freaking everywhere in every walk of life.
Yeah.
And they found us.
Yeah. Why did they come here?
So there's a couple of different reasons. Yeah. The cuts and beards are
good.
World class.
Yeah.
Frankly, we've had some great training.
Yeah.
And put it all down to them. We also have I'd say one of the best destination retail selections of anywhere outside of Mer's Apothecary in Chicago, in like the Midwest, I would probably say.
Right.
I don't think a single one of the companies on our shelves are owned by, you know, some giant multinational corporation. Mm.
So there's a really obvious question where like a lot of your group would come in, which is like a lot of your customers would come in, which is like, I really relate to these people. They're sort of my people. I want to be a part of this. Right.
But if you think of like Batavia, St. Charles, Elgin, Geneva,
Aurora,
North Aurora.
Yes.
Which of those seems like the most creative weirdos?
Yes. Yeah. It's Batavia for
sure. It's Batavia.
No question. Yeah. That is true.
And I then agree you get people from all of those areas around.
There is something about a place that has a bunch of sort of out of the ordinary proclivities, mm-hmm. and they're putting it on display. And even mm-hmm. Voltos will do this, mm-hmm. right? Where it's like you walk in, you get an instant sense like, this is unique. Mm-hmm. This yeah. is interesting.
Yeah.
It's definitely better than the sort of standard, mm-hmm. which is, I think, what I'm sort of working through this in front of you, but yeah. I think I'm realizing why I prefer local places to chains, mm-hmm. right? Where chains are based on standard opinions and standard preferences.
Yeah, it's whereas, the watered down
yeah,
version.
Whereas local, you get one person's thing that you might actually like connect with them on a genuine level.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I like Tolkien too. Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's something that kind of illustrates where a lot of this comes from. And you see those posters up there for the Ruzel signature haircuts.
Yep.
So the guys behind Ruzel and their barbershop in Rotterdam in the Netherlands, mm-hmm. Skorum, Lenenburgs, they were like my idols and still are. They are some of the best barbers that I've ever worked with. They're so talented. They're so passionate. And yeah. the name of their product line, Ruzel, in Dutch, it means lard because that's what pomade used to be made out of uh-huh. way back in the day. Okay. But in Dutch slang, it actually means ass sweat because they thought that would be hilarious to have dudes all over the world putting in their hair. Their shop, they affectionately call it the Holy Ashtray. And they're like,
the scumbag barbers.
The scumbag barbers of Rotterdam. Uh-huh. They're always wearing the nice proper barber smocks and ties, but also just covered up to their faces in tattoos. Mm-hmm. And the city council or the city didn't want to let them call their shop Skorum because that also means some not great things uh-huh. in Dutch slang.
Scumbag is the one that we can say.
Okay. Whereas it's like the most direct translation, but it's just it's a not good thing to say. And despite them saying like, nobody will ever come to this business. This is a terrible name. This is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
They open to, people coming from around Europe and waiting 8 hours a day. And that's been the case for over 10 or 13, something, 14
I years think, or yeah, now. At least.
Before we opened, I had reached out to the owner there and asked him like, what piece of advice would you have for somebody looking to open up their own shop? And he said, build a place that you love to be and everything else will come from that.
Mm.
Like the reason that there's nerd stuff all over this shop is not because we went out and searched the world for a bunch of nerd stuff. Like this was mostly stuff from our house that we just didn't have enough room for anymore.
Right.
Build it and they will come.
What has starting this barbershop in Batavia taught you about yourselves?
So many things.
That I was apparently autistic the whole time.
When did you discover that?
A year before the pandemic started. It was not the best timing, but it explains a lot about why everything here is the way it is. Yeah.
And I'm ADHD.
Neither of us knew this before we started a business.
Yeah, no, absolutely
cool.
Not.
That's a fun thing to adjust to in the midst of all of this, but it also gives us a lot of particular strengths. And I think we both understand a lot more about our strengths and weaknesses now. Mm-hmm. And having a framework for that has been insanely helpful.
Therapy's fantastic. Go to therapy.
When we're talking about that community part and the D&D part, it's I think that's maybe even a shorthand in some ways for the neurodivergent community, which we are a very friendly place for that community.
Some of that I'm interested in on a personal level of you all working together. What's really wild is that we're recently going through that experience of where she's feeling she might be somewhere on the spectrum,
mm-hmm.
and I'm feeling like certainly I have ADHD.
Yeah,
we have yet to get diagnosed, which is why whatever. Yeah. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just bringing that up because it touched on something.
Yeah,
for me.
Man, it's definitely
this is what we do.
Uh-huh.
That's part of the beard scarred thing right there. The having conversations with people about life, about what's going on in their life, not just the happenings and the trivial stuff how's the weather, or
barbers are also therapists, I think,
in a way, in a very unregulated, unlicensed, not professional way.
Certainly, but you know what, we're
but in a technically not
one of
real
the biggest way. Things that therapists are really great for is being a sounding board, just being able to tell things to somebody outside of your situation. And that's one of the things that has always been so rewarding in this job. People will tell us things that they've never told anybody else in their life that they were the first ones they tell.
Yes.
And that's just. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question though? Are you both like that? Did you go to barbers and talk to them about your lives?
So, I was cutting my own hair, so no.
No. Would you have, though?
I think I would.
You absolutely would.
Well, we touched on it earlier. I was in the bar scene. I worked in restaurants and bars, so I had that avenue.
What about you?
I never really had like a regular person who cut my hair. Again, I cut my own hair for most of my life. So, but you know, definitely in the over, I can be an oversharer. Yeah, absolutely.
So my thing is, I'm asking because like, I don't do that. I don't feel comfortable doing that for whatever reason. And it is a little bit like I'm
you relating. Have a filter.
It's not even a filter. It's just like introversion. No. Except it's tied to control, which may be something like related to you. Like right now, I feel relatively comfortable. I understand what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
When I go to a barber, I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what they want. And also I'm in public and it's just like weird. And so I feel a discomfort around talking.
I get it.
They ask, how's your day going? I don't know what they really want to know. You know, it's just like a whole thing.
That's why we generally have the, you ask three open-ended questions. If you don't get much of a response, you go for a quieter haircut. But then we use the rest of the barbers where you'll start up some generalized, usually nerd-related conversation, maybe about, you know, whatever particular show has been on or movie has been out.
Yeah.
And it's like a beach ball. It just kind of gets bopped around the shop.
Interesting.
And it takes the pressure off the talking for the person in the chair. And then a lot of times they'll, you know, chime in on things without, again, feeling that pressure.
That is so smart. I feel like I am probably the most disappointing barber client on earth.
No. When you have a barber who really likes cutting hair, though, there's times where it's like we are also perfectly happy to just, like, get into the haircut zone, you know? Sure. But you kind of need that permission to do that first.
Don't ever feel bad about being a quiet client because you are a gem.
Okay, cool. That's good. That makes me feel good.
That is a welcome respite from having to do all of that like performative aspect of the job.
Yeah.
It's nice to have just a quiet one every once in a while and be like, just gonna cruise through it.
I love that.
Nice and easy reset for ourselves as well.
I've never been able to find a massage person, and like I F up my parts so often, like it's a problem. But I've never been able to find one, and it's not that I don't want to talk to them, it's that I just desperately need to not have to formulate responses to anything for a while.
No.
And like, my God, do I get that. So if a client ever would rather not talk and just wants to just zone out, just let us know, and we are perfectly happy. We don't think it's rude. Don't think it's weird.
I have like, the reality is I have different kinds of days. I'll have like depressive, sad days where I just don't want to talk to anyone. And then I'll have like days where I'm just like feeling it. I am feeling extrovert. I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, enough about me, but this is actually my therapy session. Okay. So the last question I want to ask is, what do you think it means to belong in Batavia specifically?
There's so many different communities in Batavia, but there's a huge spirit of volunteerism that goes on in this community, and like we wish we could do more of it, but man, we are chained to this 1,700 square foot toddler a lot,
right?
And especially during the hours, things actually go on.
Yeah.
There's also so many local businesses. There's just so many people that are doing the things that they're passionate about here, and sharing that with each other and sharing that beyond the borders of Batavia seems to be a really huge thing here. The Batavia Main Street organization is amazing about making sure that folks out there know how much great stuff is done and made and everything else in Batavia.
Yeah. I'd agree. I'd say it's that.
We're the city of energy.
Yeah.
We do shit.
Well, that's interesting. Like you mentioned passion, and like leaning into your passion feels like a big part of what it is. Right?
Yeah.
Like that is like.
Maybe that's why we ended up in Batavia with the nerd thing. Yeah. There's that one common link.
I've always struggled with actually getting things done. I can hold ideas, visions, and ambitions in my head for months or even years without actually doing anything to make them happen. I overthink a lot. I make assumptions. I think through all the reasons something might not work, and I assume that there's no one in Batavia who wants something similar. But that's made me glad I live in a city like Batavia, the city of energy. I've heard multiple stories in the past few weeks of people having crazy ideas and then just making them happen. It's led to the boardwalk shops, a wiener dog race, and yes, even a barbershop geared toward a very specific type of person. So, if you're listening to this and you've been sitting on an idea, let this be your sign to actually make it happen. Batavia is the perfect place to take that first step. Sure, if you must, you can ask yourself, what's the worst that could happen? But then, make sure you also ask, what's the best thing that could happen? Imagine that, and then go for it. Thanks for listening to Area Code Batavia. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. If you enjoy this podcast, why not subscribe to our newsletter? Just click the link in the show notes and put in your email address. Not only will we let you know whenever there's a new episode of Area Code Batavia available, but each issue also brings you 5 concrete ways to experience a deeper sense of belonging in the community of Batavia, Illinois. Most importantly, if you know someone who would love to hear this podcast, please share it with them. Word of mouth is the best way to grow this community and help more people feel like they belong in Batavia, Illinois. Area Code Batavia is produced by Area Code Audio. It's hosted and produced by me, Richard Clark, with additional production help from Jennifer Clark.